Hi there. You're listening to the Voice with Action podcast. I am your host, Deb Balico.
And I am Rebecca Pratt, co-founder and president of Orphan Relief and Rescue. Tune in to be awakened and inspired to take action towards what you were created to do in this world, to live fully alive.
All right. Hello and welcome to the Voice with Action podcast. I am here with Teresa. And Teresa recently was able to travel to West Africa with Rebecca. And Teresa is a part of her home church in Austin, Texas. And so I just really wanted to take a moment to hear how her experience was and hear even why she wanted to go in the beginning. So anyway, welcome, Teresa.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here. Well, so big question always is, why did you want to travel all the way to West Africa in the first place? Because this is your second time going. So not only did you go once, but now you're going twice. So why did you want to go in the beginning?
Yeah, so it's actually my third time in Africa.
Oh, okay.
And I think ever since I was a little girl, I was always very interested in the missions field. A missionary was always a passion of mine since I was a little girl, and really just going anywhere where God called me to go, except Africa. But when I got married and had my first daughter, my husband just really pushed me and said, I think you need to go. I think it's your time. And so I went to Uganda for the first time alone without knowing anybody. And God really stretched me at that time. And I came to love Africa. Like, I just felt there was something special about Africa. And when Rebecca came to our home church, brought up the trip going to West Africa, I just felt the Lord just tugging at my heart saying, you should do it. Go. And so my husband said, I think you should go too. And it was just confirmation. And so I went, and it was totally Holy Spirit driven. Like, it was, God was just all over. And it was an amazing time, a very challenging time for me, because I got to experience so much of God's fullness when I was there the first time with Rebecca. And I was like, I have to go back again. Because honestly, I feel alive whenever I go back to West Africa. It's like my soul is alive. And I feel like this is what we're supposed to be doing. Like, this is why God created us, is to go out and just share the gospel to the people that don't know Jesus, and to really just be his hands and feet and just pour love onto them. So it's always amazing to go back.
So what did you find possibly to be the most challenging part of either your first trip or your second trip?
The most challenging for me, I would say, is really leaning on the Holy Spirit. I just felt like God was just calling me to just die to myself on a daily basis and just saying, Lord, you just use me according to however you want to use me. And so when I would pray for people, when we go visit, you know, these villages, I would just pull people from the crowd and be like, this is the person I'm supposed to pray for. This is the person that I'm supposed to pray for. And when I would be obedient to whatever the Holy Spirit called me to do, we would just see amazing things happen while I was praying. Like, prophetic things would just happen, and, or, you know, answered prayers or just healings would happen. And so that was the most challenging part, because it was just so unusual for me and out of the ordinary. I wasn't used to that kind of stuff, and just really trusting the Lord, like, okay, if you told me to pray for someone, then something has to happen. And every time it happened, it felt like just the energy out of me would just be sucked out, and I would just be so tired every single time. But at the same time, it was the most rewarding, because I got to see God's goodness. I got to see the Holy Spirit work. And just being obedient to whatever he asked me was just, you know, the saying, when you taste and see the goodness of God, you always want more. And it was just that feeling.
Yes. What is that experience like for you to hear from the Holy Spirit and know, you know, is it like a feeling in your gut? Is it a nudge? Is it a thought that isn't your own? But, you know, in that moment, if you felt like the Holy Spirit was asking you or pointing a person out that you're supposed to pray for, what was that kind of interaction like for you between you and God?
It was more, I would just look into a person's eyes. I would just know.
Know that you needed to pray for them?
I would just know. That's the person I need to pray for.
And how would you know what to pray for them? What was that like?
Honestly, I don't know. I would just pray. I would just pray.
Yeah. You just start praying.
I would just touch them. If I touch them, or if I look straight into their eyes, I could see what they needed prayer for or what they were experiencing. And so then the prophetic side would just come out. And, you know, I have a prayer partner now. She's become like, we're like a tag team. Whenever we pray, we're just always together. And we would always be like, God, this is amazing. Like, how can this happen? It's only you. You receive all the glory, because we pray for people and we don't even know them. And they're like, this is what's exactly happening in my life. Or, you know, I would pray over a little girl and say that she's going to be the courageous one in her family to break all of the curses. And her name is Courage. So it's just amazing things that happened. And it's only God that can do it.
Yeah. And so in case our audience doesn't know, like whenever we have teams that go to West Africa, we either have kind of a community gathering where they might come and either learn from a social worker, or learn from a police officer, learn from one of our staff members. But then there's always a ministry time at the end. There's always a moment where we then share with the community the motivation behind what we do is the love of Jesus and the love that Jesus has shown us, you know, we want to share with them. And so then there's always kind of a ministry time where then team members can go out with our translators and pray for who kind of whoever the Lord highlights for you to pray for. Then that's when it really is, you're blown away by this God that we serve is such a God of detail. And he knits together all of these many, many, many details ultimately to reveal his love for the person that you're with and praying with that's right before you.
And he also revealed there's purpose, right? And so the people that God led me to, there was a purpose for it. And it wasn't just a random person, but there was a reason and a purpose for it. So that was really beautiful to see.
Yeah. Do you know, like, the follow-up to that? Would a staff member follow up with that person, or do you know?
There were instances, like in my previous trip, not this one, but when I was praying in a van, because I am allergic to the sun, so I can't stay on the sun very long. So I was praying over a kid in the van, and another kid appeared out of nowhere and was standing right in front of the door asking that I pray for him and be the only person to pray for him. And so when I was done with the other person, he revealed to me that he was going to be sold after his tests were done. He overheard his parents speaking, and so he wanted to tell me that he's frightened and he's scared and that he's going to be sold. And so at that moment in time, then, you know, the local staff came and took his name and got his information and pretty much saved his life. We've had instances where that would happen, or there would be staff members that would come after our prayer and they would take care of the situation or make sure they would watch over them and make sure they're on the feeding program or and all that. So
what would you say was the most rewarding or fulfilling part of your trip?
Definitely seeing so many people come to Jesus is the most rewarding part. And also being with the children at the safe home. I've developed such a strong relationship with them and bond with them. And just being able to see how much love they have when they've had so little love in their lives. And it's really changed my life. Like I shared with them when I was there, when they did their Bible study. They do Bible study every night at 9 p.m. And so every night I would join them with doing their Bible study. And I just shared with them that since I've been here, they've changed my life. Like, my life is not the same because of the love that they have and the faith that they have with so little. And I can't go back living life the same.
What are some changes after being inspired? Because I agree, when I've been with the kids in the safe home and just their like devotion and commitment and their priorities, it seems like they really have their priorities straight and in order. And Jesus and pursuing Jesus is the number one thing in their life. And then it's their education. And then, it really is inspiring, like coming home, bringing home, you know, the sense of what are my priorities?
Right, right.
What was your kind of take home from that? Or how has it, like, could you give some examples here today back home, how you're living life differently because of that?
I think my prayer life has changed a lot, to be honest. It's become more meaningful, intentional, more powerful in my prayer time, where if God wakes me up at 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to pray at 5 o'clock in the morning. So there was a period of time after my previous trip, I woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning to pray for an hour, and just to change how I viewed how powerful prayer was and is. And then even for this trip, this time around, I know when we got to spend more time with the kids in the safe home, I got to find out a little bit more about kind of their struggles. And a lot of them still suffer with night terrors at night where they just can't sleep because they're so frightened. And so when I came back, I felt the Lord was just prompting me to, and telling me, wake up or stay awake at 11 p.m. your time and pray for those kids while they're still sleeping. Pray that they'll be at peace and they have comfort and they won't be attacked while they're sleeping. I've been doing that just at 11 o'clock every night, just praying for them. So it's just those kinds of things that kind of have changed me, and also how I view what's important. So like my priorities have changed because I've seen, you know, how they live their lives and how they worship the Lord. And so it's just really dying to yourself daily in the comforts of the world.
I know. We are so comfortable here.
Yeah.
So true. And it's so easy to kind of be lulled to sleep here, I feel like. But if you really do believe that your prayers are heard, you know, that God wants a conversation with us and that he really does answer them and wants to use us to answer them, it is motivating. It's very motivating. So speaking of that being lulled to sleep here in America versus in West Africa, the spiritual environment, it's almost, I kind of call it like flaunting almost. It's just very loud. It's very in your face. It's very, even culturally, you know, the spiritual world and the physical world are all one. When here, I think we separate the spiritual and the physical. Would you share with us some of your encounters with kind of the spiritual world there?
So last trip, I was supposed to speak and share my testimony at a village. And right before it was my turn to speak, I got physically ill where I couldn't breathe. I had trouble breathing. My legs wouldn't work. Like I couldn't walk. I literally thought I was going to faint at that point in time. And so I had to go sit outside with one of the translators. And while we were out there praying, we saw a man come out of that center. And he was the only person that left. And he was all in white. Rebecca was like, "That's so strange." And I said, "Yeah, that's a little strange that he's the only one leaving." And she was like, "I think you've been cursed." And I was like, "That's what I thought too." And so I wasn't able to share my testimony at that time, but I was so determined. I was like, no, I need to share my testimony. And so that's one of the reasons why I came back the second time, this time around, was to go back to the same village and to share that I am a living testimony, that I'm still here and nothing has happened to me. And that our God, the one true God, is the most powerful God. And you should not live in fear. Because once you are a child of Jesus, then you have a light in you that will shine throughout the darkness. And so I share that with them. And I was so just on fire about that because I really wanted them to see that I am living proof that the darkness did not take my life, that I was standing firm. And it was just a beautiful experience for me to just share that power that God has. To kill the darkness, you know?
Yeah, it is like God's perfect love was casting out fear. Like fear could not hold you back. So how was that received by the community this time around? You know, because we also believe in God's timing on things. So how was that received?
Well, interesting thing, that morning I actually got ill again this trip. I was not feeling very well. I had huge stomach pains. I was in the restroom like all morning. I was like, oh my gosh, Lord, like, this time I am going to speak. I'm not going to let the enemy win. But when I was there, I think it was really well received. I think at that point in time, when we asked for at the end for salvation, like no one was afraid to stand up and, you know, give their life to Jesus or even ask for prayer. And there were so many people that I saw from the previous trip that were sitting in that crowd that I know saw what happened to me before. And I just wanted to just be obedient to whatever he asked me to do. And so.
Yeah. Is this the same village, the newest village that we're going into where the chiefs said, please come tell us about Jesus. And whoever is speaking will not be cursed today. We want to hear what you have to say.
No,
no, it's not that village that was inviting. It's a different one.
It's a different one.
Yeah. And I do think that that is the power of our testimony really does speak loudly to the community because so much of what they experience with voodoo has to do with fear and cursing. And when they can see that someone has been cursed and survived and still standing strong, then they can see, oh, maybe Creator God, the Father of Jesus, you know, really is the more powerful God than the gods that I'm worshiping. So even standing there as a living testimony speaks louder than words even sometimes.
Yeah. So yeah, I think so they can see it, you know, with their own eyes, like, wow, this is what we need.
Is there any like lessons or insights that you'd want to share to the Christian community, people that have not seen firsthand what you've seen? Like, what would a message of encouragement or a charge or, you know, something over the Christian community here at home, what would you want to say to them after traveling to West Africa?
Step out of your comfort zone. I think that's so important because we live in such a comfortable environment where you have your 401k, you have your nice job, you have your really big houses, you have the abundance of food, you know, you have all these things, the busyness of life. But I think in order to get a deeper experience or more spiritual experience of God, you have to step out of that comfort zone to get a better understanding of the fullness of God. You can get God here. Yes, you can. But you get a different part of God in West Africa that it'd be harder for you to get here. God is so much bigger than we realize. And if we don't step out of our comfort zone, we'll never really get to fully understand the depths of his love and the depths of his power and the depths of like just of all he can do. And then once you see that, you're like, wow, God, you are an amazing God. And this is the God that we serve. You know, he's the one true God. He created everybody. When you really go out there, you see, wow, this is so amazing. And I don't want to live in just a small bubble anymore. Like there's so much out there. There's so much work to be done. How could we stay idle and not be obedient to what he has called us to do?
How would you speak to people who hear who might be stuck in fear? You know, stepping out of your comfort zone can come with a lot of fear. So yeah. How would you encourage people to get past the hurdle of fear?
I still have a lot of fear. Like even going back to West Africa this time around, I was fearful. I have two kids at home. You know, I have a husband and I thought about what if something happened to me? But I can't think that way. I mean, this is what I told my husband. This is what I shared with him. And I might start tearing up, but I said, if something happens to me, I know that my kids will be well taken care of and loved. But those kids in Africa don't have that. So I'm willing to sacrifice that, my life, to show them love. Because I know God has my kids taken care of, but they don't have it. So, you know, it's just, I think once you really are a disciple of Christ, it's like, how can you not step out of your comfort zone? So there's a cost of discipleship. You have to sacrifice things in order to be his disciple.
Yeah, you're making me teary-eyed over here. I agree. You know, I'm a mother with three children, and those have been my fears, you know, traveling there as well, is what if something happens to me and I'm not a part of discipling them as they grow up, you know? And the reality is, like you said, the kids over where we serve, they don't have that. They don't have that same understanding of the deep love of God. They don't have that same understanding of hope, the hope that we have. So we have a couple more minutes. So I didn't know if you have any story that you might want to share from that time.
I do have a story. There was this one village that we went to and we were all praying. I wasn't feeling well, number one, because I had a lot of those issues, the stomach problems that day. It was our very last day there in the villages. And this grandma and this little girl, this, you know, maybe 10, 15-year-old girl, they would not leave where I was sitting. And the grandma demanded, you know, that I pray for her. And so after I was done with all the prayers, she said, you need to pray for my granddaughter because she has been throwing up. She's been vomiting. And so as I was praying for her, you know, God showed me a vision, and it was a vision of a hole in her stomach. And I told the translator, I was like, I don't know if you want to, you know, share that with them, but there's something, you know, she has a hole in her stomach and I think it's the grandma that's causing whatever is going on with her. And so the translator said, I agree with you that I think it's the grandmother. And as we prayed for her, she was just needing to throw up and like sweating profusely. As we were done, I went into the van and the translator comes over to me and says, do you know what just happened? And I said, no. And she said, we just prayed over a witch. The grandma and the granddaughter were witches. And she was vomiting because she was being delivered. She vomited during the whole, like, you know, time that we were there. And when we were sharing the gospel, I guess she was just being delivered. And so I was like, wow. At the same time, I was scared because I was like, well, that was a witch. Yeah. I had no idea. But it was just amazing to see how God brought those two witches into that time of prayer. Because before, you know, they wouldn't even bother to show up. And they couldn't come close to us. But now you can see the changes happening in these villages. And people really want to accept Jesus and have and be delivered and not live in this fear anymore. So, yeah, it was amazing.
Wow. I've heard similar stories of deliverance where there's like a physical manifestation of the deliverance. And, you know, especially when someone encounters the presence of Jesus. And for our listeners, that's part of these freedom centers that we talk about, that we not only run our programs through, but we also offer a church on Sunday mornings. So there's always an element that if someone wants to be discipled, learning more, asking more questions, you know, that this grandmother and that these two witches can come back to a church and learn more about this God of love that wants to continue to deliver them and free them from their bondage. So it's amazing that we can witness and be a part, and it is like a revival happening over there, and it's amazing.
And that's why I say step out of your comfort zone, because you can't see these things if you're just in your home, your beautiful home. But if you go out, you will see, you know, pretty much the book of Acts is what I feel like I experience every time I go back to West Africa. It's like the Bible is alive and it's so good. So more people should just go and just challenge yourself and test your faith and be the light.
Well, Teresa, thank you so much for joining me today and challenging all of us and inspiring all of us to step out of our comfort zones and really listen to what God might be asking us to do so that we can experience the fullness of Him, exactly like you said. You know, it's an invitation, really, to His fullness, His intimacy, and to be in awe and wowed by who He is and what He wants to do and what He's doing. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. All right, bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Voice with Action podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, would you consider sharing or subscribing to this podcast and leave a 5-star review to help us grow? If you want to reach us or help us end child trafficking in West Africa, go to orphanreliefandrescue.org. That's orphanreliefandrescue.org. See you next week.